Bradley Show.
Small business.
A small business feature brought to you by Volkswagen Commercial Vehicles, built to build your business. Visit vwcommercial.co.za today. Pavlo Fatidis. Why are you wearing a hat with a propeller on it? You're looking like you're trying to create technology to take over the world.
It's about understanding risk in an increasingly automating, roboticizing, if there's such a word.
Roboticized.
Roboticizing, because it's in the process of happening. Okay. Technology-fying world. And it's going to change industries dramatically. It's already changing industries in quite a significant way, Bruce. And as an entrepreneur, you need to be aware of what lies ahead so you can figure out a way to assess risk. And in fact, the show from last week was about how to handle change and how to predict change and how to be the change, preferably.
A lot of people say, well, I've got my small business. I'm not going to be out-roboticized. I mean, if you are, you've got a manufacturing plant and your competitor is roboticizing, then you've got a problem because they can do it more accurately and better than you. But you've got your coffee shop, you've got your shop, you've got whatever it is that your small business does. Why worry? Come on, that's years away.
Not really. You know, we're already in a situation. There's not one industry that isn't being touched by this. Right now, there's not one industry. Let's put it this way. There's not one sector. Sector are the big slices that make up economic activity. And within them, you have all these industries. There isn't one that isn't being touched right now.
I did think of a really simple example of people who do their tax returns. And you do it via e-filing. E-filing is an automated way of doing a tax return, which 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, you might have asked an accountant to do on your behalf. And it's been done in such a way, there's a lot of people who, we've got fairly simple tax affairs, can just go click, click, click and do it themselves. That's taken a job away from an accountant.
Very much so. And in fact, if we look at the financial sector and the financial space and the financial realm, there are these things called robo-accountants that are already coming out. And the earliest phase of it, Bruce, the earliest look and feel around it is superb software, excellent, excellent bookkeeping software that integrates with the bank account. It's being produced globally now. It sits in the cloud. It's available on cell phones. I've adopted it in my own business, and I've reduced my accounting fees by about 20,000 rand a month. It has made the need and necessity of the traditional bookkeeper redundant for us in its entirety. And I've only adopted the very early stages of, let's call it, an automated bookkeeping system.
Do you have somebody who double checks it? Because you don't want to get into trouble. You don't want to have to go and talk to the nice man from SARS and say, well, you see, the computer did it. Because they can't lock the computer up.
No, it's not even necessary to double check. The only person who double checks it is myself, but I look at the numbers with a different perspective. I look at them for value. I look at them to see how I can perhaps guide the business differently. But I don't look at them to see if their debit and credits are right, because consistently they've been 100% spot on right, fitting into South African tax law, South African circumstances. I still have my accountant. My accountant still does the audit every year. But they don't do the bookkeeping anymore, not in the way that it used to be done. That job has gone.
That's scary.
That is scary.
Bookkeepers. Who else is a threat?
Well, there are quite a few. Advisors, financial advisors. I'm always listening with very keen interest to the investment shows that run. Robo-advisors are increasingly coming to the fore. If you look at it already,
The PR by the big firms, by the way, to their broker forces, their sales forces, is this is a tool. It's here to help you. Mm-hmm. Don't unplug it.
Oh, really?
Huh? Yeah, that's the PR.
Yeah, I think it's interesting PR. You know, big data, a hell of a lot of data that's been consumed, that's been understood. You can create the algorithms. You can get a robo-advisor literally advising and investing and exiting on your own behalf.
Now, if you think at the number of bank branches in the country, and you look at the number of people who bank with the individual banks, there are far more people in the banking system today than there were 15, 20 years ago. There are probably twice as many branches as there were 15 years ago or so. But the banking system has been able to absorb so many more customers because they've got a platform. It's a technology platform full of ones and zeros that reads the digital input from your salary and reads the digital output when you swipe your credit card or you spend on your debit card or you draw some cash. The bank teller isn't nearly as busy as perhaps they might have been with as many customers 15 years ago.
Bruce, we have the highest banking costs in the world, if not the second highest.
Among the highest.
Among the highest. Among the highest.
And they're cheaper than they were, or on par than probably about 10 years ago, because 10 years ago, they were blooming crazy. And
yeah,
the technology sort of has brought the cost down in real terms over that period of time.
And we have a very, very dispersed, let's call it, economy. We have over 1.22 million square kilometers. We've got about 55 million people. We're not a densely populated environment. And yet, even within that, the banking revenues are being eaten away at the side. They've been eaten away by very clever technology that's coming out. Bitcoin is not going away. It's remaining there. And it's creating a huge amount of anxiety. You've seen the big investments taking place in fintech. People are concerned and people are worried. And people are saying, well, do we really even need a bank? Because a bank almost feels, in many instances, like, do I really have to have it if there's an alternative? Because what value do I truly, truly get from my bank? I use it to transact and I use it to deposit and I use it to make payments, etc. and so forth. But what true, true value do I really get? And if there was an alternative, like we've seen appear in the UK, where you can have a bank with zero branches, that's the beginning of a completely digitized bank. And behind that digitized bank, you can have some very clever technology replacing people.
I mean, they were doing that 20 years ago with a bank called First Direct. It was operating on the existing banking license of either an HSBC or a Royal Bank of Scotland, or one of those. And so they were doing it with telephone banking. I mean, there was a call center, and the customers were able to phone the call center. And then they've had various, I think Egg was the one that came out of Prudential. And then, of course, we had 2020 in South Africa. I'm fascinated to see what Discovery is going to do, for example, with its banking offering. They're in the process of getting a license, and they're creating something. They're not going to have the branches. Investec doesn't have branches.
Exactly. That's going to be the way to go.
It makes it a lot cheaper to run a banking service.
But technology has gone beyond that. It's gone into the services space. And if you really think about it, in the services environment, already McDonald's is experimenting with an automated hamburger flipper.
And Greg Solomon, Greg Solomon didn't tell me this, and I've spoken to him once in Joburg and once in Cape Town in the last month, and he didn't tell me this.
Yeah, they're already doing it, and it flips burgers far more effectively, far more consistently, far more correctly than a human being does. A veteran flipper of 10 years was outperformed by an automated hamburger flipper.
Flip.
Yeah, and we are getting lawnmowers now that will be completely automated. They'll be able to assess the landscape that they need to mow. The lawnmower itself is going to replace the person doing the lawn mowing, or the landscape in that sense. And one of the very first robots that was produced, in effect, you can call it a robot or an automated device, was discovered here in South Africa, wasn't it?
The creepy crawly.
Absolutely right.
Yeah. No.
Services are also under threat.
We take a lot of these things for granted because they've been around for a long time. And I suppose for anybody in a small business is that the rate of change is accelerating at an ever-increasing rate.
Completely.
And so we've been used to the creepy crawly and similar devices. So we don't see that as having replaced the job of sweeping down the walls of a swimming pool two or three or four times a week or whatever that laborious task used to take. It's now just done, and we're used to that.
And look at the discussion we had last week, in fact, or the discussion before the show, where we spoke about the cost of education and fees must fall and the disruption at universities. How's that going to be replaced by automated means? Because it's inevitable. It is going to happen. I think education is a problem globally around the world. Fewer and fewer people are able to get access to elite education, and that has to be commoditized in some shape or form. That's going to happen through very clever technology. The multiple universities. So think of what goes into university. There's brick and mortar. There are cleaning services. There is lights and electricity. There are globes. There's paper. There are whiteboards. There are whiteboard markers. There's paper. There are desks. All of that goes. Those industries are going to fade away, and they're going to be replaced by a university in your own home.
Pavlo Fatidis this evening about the threats that entrepreneurs face into the future in an automating world. But with the risk comes opportunity, but you've got to have your eyes wide open. So if you're starting a business today, do you know what your industry looks like 10 years from now? Do you have the vaguest idea? Are you thinking about what your industry looks like? Or are you looking at it and thinking, as long as I make my first year targets, I'm going to be absolutely fine? Are you thinking in the here and the now, or are you thinking into the future? How to do that with Pavlo Fatidis this evening on The Money Show.
For people who create
small business.
I want to talk about the how we prepare ourselves, but your questions are important. Elton in Cape Town. I hope you don't outfox us and outsmart us too much this evening. Elton, what's your question?
Hi, Pablo. My question is, I've developed a sports app, a sports and recreation app, which basically takes club membership and event entries on your mobile phone, and you pay it on your phone. How prevalent is a system like that in place? Do you know?
I was so excited, Elton, when you said you got a sports system. I thought I could get the app to do the work, and I would lose. But I would lose the weight, and I would be healthier. But it's not that. It's not that useful. Now, Elton, thanks very much. Work harder, Elton. But thanks for your call this evening. It's a logical step to take. Elton seems to be onto something.
Well, you know, it's interesting because he brings it up straight after when you ended off the last segment. You spoke about discovery.
Yeah.
And what's increasingly happening is, in Elton, the biggest drive in the healthcare industry around, let's call it automation and robotics, is something called 4P medicine. And 4P medicine is about predictive. So when you look at genome therapy and you look at genome sequencing, some of the biggest developments by a guy called Dr. Craig Venter, not a South African, on the west coast of the United States, he's able to map out the genome sequence. Yeah. And he can tell you, Elton, when you turn this age, you're going to suffer from that. He can tell it up front. So it's about predictability. It's about participation. And participation is exactly where an app like yours will come into play. It's where the activities you perform to look after your health and maintain your health are recorded, and that information is provided on a participatory method to your healthcare provider. Then it's preventative, because if they can see what you're locked and loaded with, some dreadful, horrible disease at some point in time, they can see how you're behaving through an app like yours or through other apps, they can start to do preventative maintenance on your body itself. And then the fourth P is it's going to come to me now, Bruce.
Pause.
It's going
to... Oh, dear.
It should be pause. Oh, it's personal. It's personal.
Have you got an app for memory?
Yes. It's personal. And what that means is that it's entirely designed around you, your circumstances, your genes, your environment. It's very, very specific to you. So the app you've developed is moving in the right direction. You've got to find the right partners to get value out of it.
Now, says somebody this evening, I'm a qualified CASA, so somebody who's worked blimmin' hard at being an accountant and has studied for many, many years. Yeah. But due to changes in technology, I have to diversify and change industry from running accounting practices to now running a technology firm in the water sector. Now, at least you've got a real skill where you can apply your mind to running that water business. But at some point, the water business itself may be disrupted, and that's what's so scary.
It would be, but you know, I think it's a very, the accounting profession is a fantastic profession in terms of understanding buy, add value, sell. Mm. I think it's a profession that's going to face some really, really rough times. If your lifelong quest is to be an auditor, I think you're in for a rough ride there.
But if you are somebody, I mean, so many of the most creative chief executives in South Africa are people who have studied finance, or are people who have studied accounting. They understand numbers. They understand, that informs their understanding of risk.
And the levers of a business, yeah. Most importantly.
Gloria in Belleville. Hello, Gloria.
Hello there. You know, it's terribly exciting listening to all this, but what about the people that are right now being put out because of technology? More and more people are going to be unemployed.
Correct.
Fewer and fewer people are going to be able to feed themselves. And, you know, what are we going to end up with? Are we going to end up literally going back to the dark ages?
Gloria, I mean, your point is so well made, and it was one of the issues raised at Davos this year, the whole discussion around the fourth industrial revolution, and saying already 4.5-5 million jobs will disappear because they'll be done by machines. And we kind of think, when Scope magazine was a news magazine, that is in the 1970s, Pablo. Oh, no, earlier.
It was a news magazine?
It was! And then it went all tatty, apparently. But
apparently.
I have a friend who has a copy of the Scope magazine from the day he was born. His parents thought it would be good for him to look back on it. And there it talked about automation. It talked about a future in which we'd be free to do as we pleased because robots would do all the work. Okay, so in the 1960s, 1969, I think it was, they put that date at 2000. So the timing wasn't exactly right. And it may very well come that we'll have the automated lawnmower and the automated vacuum cleaner and all of that sort of stuff. But that puts people out of work. And at some point, it's going to put you out of your job unless you are in a value-adding creative space.
Very much so. And in fact, you know what? This has been written about by a really fascinating person called Patrick Dixon. He wrote a book called The Future of Nearly Everything. And Bruce, he speaks a lot about these technologies and he projects what these technologies will achieve 10, 15, 20 years into the future. And he says, but that's not where the magic lies, because it's clear that technology is going to do this. It's clear that we're going to lose jobs today in the next 20, 30 years that we never thought would get lost and new jobs would be created. He doesn't specify them very clearly. And he says, the single biggest threat, the single biggest risk that everyone faces, whether you be a business person or whether you be someone living happily along in a society, in an economy, is the rise of and sudden emergence of a tribe. And he describes a tribe as a group of people who are fearful, who are angry, and who strike out when there's a symbol that they can attach themselves to.
A Mad Max scenario.
Does it sound familiar?
Yeah.
So Post-US elections.
Potentially. Potentially. Patrick Dixon is his name. The book is called?
The Future of Nearly Everything.
The Future of Nearly Everything. Mm. Must find that one. And then, says Nat and Ramsach, perhaps it might be worth rereading Dr. Spencer's Who Moved My Cheese? I didn't read it the first time, Nat, so I should read it, should I?
I'm not sure, Bruce. I haven't read that particular book.
Well, you
depends what kind of cheese it is.
No, but it was all about who took away my opportunities. Mm. I think it was very big 10 or 12 years ago. And it is about suddenly your cheese has moved and you had nothing to do with the cheese moving. The cheese has moved. Oh, you need new cheese.
You know, it takes a huge amount of courage to get it right. Because, for example, in the accounting profession, Watson has been deployed by, I think it is KPMG or
Watson is artificial intelligence created by IBM,
yes,
and won the big US quiz show because mm-hmm. Watson, the computer, can access, and yes, Watson can access in every piece of information in the world really quickly.
Yeah, remarkable pieces of data. And in fact, we have one in South Africa. We've got one in Braamfontein. It's sitting in Braamfontein. It's an investment that's recently being made, I think in the last about 6 or 7 or 8 months. But Watson is being used extensively in the healthcare industry. It's being used to diagnose illnesses. You have a complaint. This computer is able to identify maybe 16, 17, 18, 19 different issues in probably about a second. It's not something that a human being can do. It's not something that a doctor can do. So the future of medicine, without a doubt, I think is going to lie with automation and robotics.
When you said we had a Watson in South Africa, I thought you were talking about my colleague John Matham in Cape Town, because he's a bit like that. He can pull out information from absolutely anywhere. Pablo Petidis from Auric Business Accelerator. Well, as always, fabulous on a Thursday night. Lots of really good feedback coming from you, and keep it coming through. People who are listening to the podcast, people are sharing the podcast, people are listening to it live, and really extracting so much good value from the chats we have with Pablo on a Thursday.